Welcome to Club 777, where we're going to heaven and you're not. Now, the host of our program, Pastor Duché.
Thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We all know there's nothing God hates more than good sex, and nothing that pleases him more than a public school health instructor who teaches abstinence. Today on our show, we're blessed to have Bob Jenkins, who's just published a book, For God's Sake, Don't Have Sex. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan of your program, and may I say you've been a huge influence not only on me, but on my students as well.
Of course, of course. Let's start off by talking about what it's like to be a health instructor in a public school. You must feel like you're walking into the lion's den of iniquity every day.
It's true, Pastor. Young minds today have been poisoned by video games and rap music and gay marriage. Combine that with cell phones and rampant hormones, and you've got a breeding ground for the devil and his AIDS. It's an uphill battle to teach the values our founding fathers intended.
Amen to that. Now, say I'm one of your students, and I want to know about birth control. What do you say?
It's not an issue, Pastor, as long as you don't have sex.
Amen to that. Now, what if your students ask about sexually transmitted diseases?
Sure thing, Pastor. Those diseases are God's punishment for sin, but none of that is a problem if they don't have sex.
Hallelujah. And what about these kids who are becoming gay, or boys deciding they want to be girls and all that?
Here's the beauty of abstinence education, Pastor. If you're not having sex, being gay or not being gay doesn't matter, does it? I tell my students, if you really want to grope each other, go out for the football team. It worked for me. And there will always be a few sissies who don't like sports, but playground conversion therapy can be helpful in those situations, if you know what I mean.
Another amen. So if I hear you correctly, all this liberal hand-wringing about sex education is really just a conspiracy to drive God out of our public schools, raise the minimum wage, and take guns out of the hands of hard-working patriots.
Absolutely, Pastor. Basically, if there's anything bad in America, it starts with sex, and I see myself as a gatekeeper against that forbidden fruit. Against knowledge, if you will. The solution is abstinence. Just say no. Keep your pants zipped and you'll be fine.
Which is what your book says so admirably and concisely.
It is a short book.
So now, hypothetically speaking, say I had a person come to me, one of God's faithful, of course, and he's done as the Bible instructs, as you yourself teach in your public school health education class. This man has waited until marriage, as well he should, and let's say his wife never stopped practicing abstinence. Let's say she'd rather read that despicable 50 Shades of Grey than partake of Holy Scripture with her husband, if you know what I mean.
Do I ever, Pastor? That poor guy bought the cow, now he just wants to drink the milk.
Exactly right. So, what can I say to this man to ease his burden? Say he has an opportunity to fly to Cabo San Lucas with a different but very godly woman. How, from your perspective, might I advise this poor man?
Well, Pastor, we're all sinners. The Bible says that's why Jesus came, if you know what I mean. As long as this hypothetical man is remorseful and asks for forgiveness at some point, he'll be fine. Also, the Mexico vacation kit from AdamandEve.com might come in handy, and it's probably a good idea to have her get an STI workup before they leave, and of course, deleting his browser history goes without saying. You know how to do that, right?
Live from New York!
Welcome to the Moss Island Sounds Podcast, Episode 7. I'm Chris Board. We're sponsored this week and every week by Finelli Sound and Lighting, a Utica, New York production company that can help with your live sound and stage lighting needs. I should also say podcasting needs, because this studio is basically Joe's equipment. Joe Finelli is who I call when I need something, and you should too. 315-794-0706. Joe knows the gear you need, and there's no guessing like with the online stores.
Hey, what's this?
What's what?
Have you got soul? If so, the world's hardest working band is looking for you. Contact Jay Rabbit.
I'm putting a band together.
Do you need a singer?
Wise men say...
Who are your influences?
Led Zeppelin.
Sinead O'Connor. Barry Manilow.
John Baez. Joni Mitchell.
Wings.
Well, what kind of music are we going to be playing, Jimmy?
Soul.
Alan Parker made some vile movies, Mississippi Burning, Angel Heart, and his music films are generally gorgeous but musically tepid. Bugsy Malone, Fame, Pink Floyd the Wall, Evita, each a head-scratcher in its own way. He's not in the first ranks of directors. He came from advertising, which explains part of the problem. Although I remember when he had enough promise that each one of his new films was eagerly awaited. Shoot the Moon is a small masterpiece, one of the best films about marriage. And then, there's The Commitments.
Maybe you're a little hoity. See if you could play before I pay for them.
The Commitments is the best movie musical, period. It helps that music is its subject. A young man in Dublin recruits musicians to start a soul band. Nobody has any money, and they don't play especially well at first. Day jobs and family commitments and squabbling amongst the band all get in the way. Eventually, things start to click, and their big break is on the horizon. I love the music in this film. Andrew Strong was only 16 when he sang the lead role. His father was the one called to audition. A character says his voice belongs to God, which is about right. A young Glenn Hansard is also present. We see the band learning to play together, as opposed to so many other musicals where nobody ever rehearses and it comes out polished the first time. We get to share the exhilaration when it all comes together and when the audience starts to react. We recognize the frustration, the infighting, and the jealousy when things aren't going so well.
Let's keep relations on a professional basis.
How are we professional if we've never been paid?
It feels much better being an unemployed musician than an unemployed pipe fitter.
The Commitments is also a great comedy. It's based on a novel by Roddy Doyle, and Gary Hambling's editing maximizes the jokes throughout. Colm Meaney has wonderful moments as an Elvis-loving father. The best art reveals something. Ultimately, it's about us. The Commitments gets at the heart of what making music means by telling a very specific story. Along the way, we're given the gift of feeling what it's like to be on stage. And we soar. All you gotta do is cry.
Black and I'm proud.
In the cool and the rain, I saw my breath and felt my heartbeat running hills. Heard the blood rushing in my ears and the splash of rubber on pavement. I saw trees springing to life, green buds and white and pink flowers, the air fresh and hopeful, and teenagers on porch steps clung to one another getting soaked. I ran and I wondered how I'd considered leaving moments like this behind. A long time ago, I was in a rock band with an insurance company CEO, a construction contractor, a college student, a chemical engineer, and a graphics designer. There's nothing on earth more enjoyable than singing with a good band. One night, at the end of rehearsal, someone suggested Chuck Berry's Johnny Be Good. The chemical engineer, our keyboard player, was from Singapore and had never heard the song. What you're about to hear is our very first attempt. You can hear her figuring out the changes and me forgetting the words. I miss that band.
I bid you welcome. The theater is a temple, and we are here to worship the gods of comedy and tragedy.
This story was written and posted on Valentine's Day, 2015.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight, something appealing. Something
a theatrical romance. 21 years ago this summer, I met Susan. July 1994, Utica College. Jackie Jones was directing A Funny Thing Happened on the way to the Forum, and they had lighting trouble. Peter Loftus was in the cast, and he called me. I walked in the auditorium, the place filled with people I knew, and many others who would become friends in the years to come. Peter introduced me to their lighting designer. Susan, have you met Chris? She saw a guy with a buzz cut, bushy red beard, flannel shirt, and dirty jeans. We might have spoken two sentences to each other. The lighting problem was easy. Students had assembled the new instruments, paying no attention to the colors of the wires. Turn them on, blow the breaker. I was finished in an hour. Many years later, Susan told me her first impression was, "Nice guy, can't carry on a conversation." In September 1995, I provided lighting for the Goodbye Girl at Players of Utica. About a week after the show, my wife at the time accosted me.
"Your girlfriend called. She left a message."
Girlfriend? This was on the recording. "Hi, this is a message for Chris. This is Susan White. You may not remember me. We met at Utica College. I just wanted to say that I saw the Goodbye Girl and I was really impressed with the lighting. Good job."
"Who the hell's Susan White?"
Well, I had no idea, but it was a nice message. The following winter, I was hired to light the show MAME at Utica College. It was the first time I'd actually designed in the space. I was there by myself, and I ran into trouble. No matter how I patched the board or plugged the lights, I wasn't seeing what I expected. I remembered I knew somebody who'd designed there before. I found her in the phone book, dangling from the payphone in the lobby. New Hartford address, not too far. Maybe she wouldn't mind swinging by, so I called. "You may not remember me." It was frigid out, something awful below zero. Not only did she set me straight, she stayed and helped me focus. I couldn't find a ladder, so I put a wooden box on top of a wheeled AV cart. Kids, not a good idea. And she pushed me around the stage. She told me I talked nonstop, but she couldn't hear what I was saying and just made affirmative noises every once in a while. We didn't meet again for 3 months.
Again, step, kick, 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 touch. Again, step, kick, 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 touch.
In April 1996, I did the lighting for a chorus line at Rome's Capitol Theater. For many reasons, this piece is special to me. It was the first production I'd seen on Broadway, back during high school. I consider it one of the finest local shows I've ever been part of. Randy Fields and Peter Loftus drilled a who's who of Central New York talent for months to get all the dancing right. Peter had asked Susan to be one of the follow spot operators. This is when we became friends. During a show, the tech crew is connected via headsets. In this case, I told the follow spots when to turn on, whom to follow, etc. Between cues, we chatted. Susan is the best follow spot operator I've ever worked with. She opens in the right spot at the right size without having to correct, and she's very good with the diffusion gel, a filter that makes the lights edge indistinct and twice as hard to keep on the performer. Following dancers, she moved the light smoothly and made the beam larger and smaller as they moved around the stage. And she could do beautiful fades. I'd hired a Rome Union stagehand crew to help take down the equipment, but they spent most of the time sprawled in the seats. Susan stayed and helped, doing more than any of them. In May 1996, Players of Utica produced Neil Simon's Broadway Bound, a play about a marriage falling apart, among other things. There were two directors, Santo Laporte and Joe Karam. One of them hired me. I made $250, which explains why I eventually went out of business. The other hired Susan, who made nothing in keeping with tradition. We both arrived to work the same day, each unaware the other would be there. We decided to collaborate. During the run of Broadway Bound, two marriages and an engagement ended. Perhaps not inspired by Simon's scenario, except his words played in the background for several hours every night as we worked on our individual dramas. Susan and I talked and talked. She worked with developmentally disabled adults, helping them to communicate and live fuller lives. I thought she was one of the kindest people I'd ever met. On June 1st, my soon-to-be ex-wife made an announcement to those gathered at our son's birthday party. My husband is a homosexual, and he's having an affair with Peter Loftus. I don't want my children exposed to that, so I'm kicking him out. Peter. He'd written me a brief thank you note after one of our late nights on a chorus line. I'd kept it in my wallet. She'd gone looking. There'd been no affairs, although I learned that many in the theater community thought I was sleeping with the woman in the other doomed marriage from Broadway Bound. It made sense. I left my house in shock, realized my wallet was completely empty when I tried to buy gas. No cash, no credit cards, no note. So I went to my new friend's house. Can I sleep on your couch for a few days?
You got the cool water when the fever runs high.
Susan had a history of taking people in, male and female. During that time, another person was staying with her as well. To my addled brain, it seemed like a good decision. And in the long term, it certainly was. In the short term, it was dynamite. But to me, the marriage had been defunct for years. All through that spring, the shaved-headed, red-bearded non-conversationalist began to emerge from a long, bad dream. The moment I drove away, I knew I couldn't go back. I found an apartment, started attending church again, and eventually asked Susan on a date. Hundreds of shows later, we're still at it. Last night, I picked up our daughter from Players of Utica, where she was running sound for Blythe Spirit.
When something goes right, what's likely to lose me? It's apt to confuse me. It's such an unusual sight. Oh, I can't get used to something so right. Something so right.
Find more essays and criticism at mossislandsounds.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter as Moss Island, all one word. Email me at chris.board@mac.com. Thank you for listening. Until next time. The original writing for the Moss Island Sounds podcast is owned by Chris Board and Moss Island Sounds, copyright 2015. Unauthorized use and or duplication of this material without express and written permission from Chris Board is strictly prohibited. Excerpts and links may be used, provided that full and clear credit is given to Chris Board and Moss Island Sounds with appropriate and specific direction to the original content. I'm gonna do my best to hook you. After all, lips said and done, you're gonna say you miss me. You're gonna say you kiss me. You're gonna say you love me.